Good morning. Thankful to be back here. The Lord has been talking to me this week, and I want to be faithful to present what He's given me. We've been talking the last couple Sundays that I was here about the perfect law of liberty. And I don't really know how many parts this is going to be, but the Lord gave me some more for this Sunday. I know that there's probably a lot of messages being preached about fathers, because today is Father's Day, but that's not what the Lord gave me. So if you'll excuse me, we're going to continue in our series. And I need your prayers. I feel so in need of the Lord this morning. It's not in our own strength, but I want to come to you in the strength of the Lord today. In James 1 and 25, we've been looking at this scripture. And I'd like to go ahead and read it again, kind of recap a little bit from what we've been studying. It says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so we talked about last time, we read the scripture that if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We talked about how that means that we are free, not just free to do whatever we want to, but we are free to love, we are free to forgive, we are free from the bondage of sin, we're free from the shackles of our own self and the selfishness and the bitterness and the things that hold people captive. And so that's one of the ways that Jesus and His gospel makes us free. We also read in Galatians 5 where it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So there's a positive command that we need to stay in the liberty that whereto the Lord has called us. We don't want to get into something that entangles us again with bondage. The devil has bondage. The bondage always comes from the devil. Jesus said, "I have a yoke for you, but it's easy, and my burden is light." We sing the song, "His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and I found it so." I would that every one of us would find this morning that the Lord's yoke is easy and His burden is light. That there are things that the Lord has given us to do and commands that we have to follow, but those commands are liberating to our spirit and not a bondage as the commands of the devil are. When we are the servants of sin, it's like it's a noose that gets tighter and tighter around us. And after a while, we're in a mess. We don't know what to do. There are no answers. Things don't work. Our family suffers. Our marriage suffers. But with the Lord, His commands, following His commands, makes us, I believe, as we follow them, more and more free every day. And I have found that to be so in my life. I'd like to re-examine a scripture a little bit more that we looked at last time. I guess it wasn't last Sunday, but a couple Sundays ago in Colossians 2. And we'll read down through there. Probably won't read it all. The whole chapter of Colossians 2 is very good. But for the sake of time, maybe we'll consider some of the highlights of it for the purpose of the message this morning. Colossians 2, maybe we'll start in about verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." All right? And then it gives some commands, and we're going to talk about what this really means. In the 16th verse, It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And then it says that they're a shadow of things to come. Down in the 18th verse, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Wherefore, or why, if you be dead with Christ, and this is the 20th verse now, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And then what's not written here, but what I have studied, the phrase such as should be here, like ordinances. For example, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So what it's saying is that there are ways that people can outline a system where they say, if you follow this and this and this, then you will be spiritual. You'll be in close communion with God. You know that true religion and false religion is very similar in some ways. Following the Lord is highly regulated. I would say that my life is highly regulated. There are many things that I know that the Lord does not want me to do. There are things that I would do if I were not saved and the Lord has put his finger on one thing after another. And there are things that more things that I continue on and the Lord says, you know, I don't want you to do that. The false religion is also regulated. Man's religion is highly regulated. But the difference is that one brings you closer to God and the other one does not. There are many religions that have mapped out every facet of a person's life to try in an attempt to bring them close to God, in an attempt to prevent them, to keep them from going astray or from thinking the wrong thoughts or from doing the wrong things. But it never works, folks. Doing something because somebody told me to do it does not work. Doing things because the Lord told me to do it always works. It brings me into closer communion with God. And it says that there are things that they have a show or they seem to be the thing to do. They seem to be the thing that will lead us closer to God, but they're really not. Because they have all the earmarks of things that the Lord might want us to do. Maybe a sacrifice in this area, or being more conservative in this area, giving up this. And of course, that should be good. Being more strict in this area. Folks, I want to tell you that being more strict than the Lord wants us to be does not bring us closer to God. It appears to, it has a form, but the Lord has a path that He wants us to walk. You know what brings us close to God? Seeking the Lord and following His voice. That's what brings us close to God. So now, and there are two sides to this. This morning, I'm going to preach mostly one side of it. But there is another side that the Lord has been talking to me about. And Lord willing, maybe we'll talk about that in the next installment of the message. We talked this morning in the Sunday school about guilt. You know that I don't have the power to bring guilt on somebody. I do, but it's a false guilt. It's something that I can make somebody feel guilty about something they're doing. I've done that before. Didn't really mean to, but there was the time that there was somebody that was doing something. I remember this very well. There was a time somebody was doing something and I was convinced that they were doing wrong. And so I came to them and I said, you've done wrong. I said, you've done wrong. And they said, no, I haven't. I haven't done anything wrong. I said, yes, you have. Because you said this and you said this and the Bible says this and you did this. And after a while, I actually convinced this person that they had done wrong, but they hadn't. They hadn't really done anything wrong. And as I grew in my understanding later, I realized that a lot of times people will do things that if I did that, it would be wrong because I know what the Lord's dealt with me about. And the places that are in my life and the understanding that I have, there are certain things. You all would probably laugh at some of the things that the Lord doesn't want me to do. And it's not necessarily because you just haven't got there in your understanding. It's because that all of us are different and there are different places and different weaknesses and things that are related to our environment, our upbringing, where we live, who we deal with, and the time that we're in, that the Lord will deal with us specifically about things, and He will not necessarily deal with somebody else about that. And so we have to have, you know, that in the church of God, there is going to be some variation in how people look and how they operate and the things that the Lord requires them to do. So I said that God alone can bring guilt, true guilt, and it is a good thing because we all come into this world we're not saved. We come into this world, we're not saved. I believe that there is an age of accountability that we get to that before that, and that's totally different Bible study. Maybe we can study it sometime, but I don't believe that a 2-year-old that dies is going to go to hell because they haven't prayed the sinner's prayer and been baptized. I believe that the Lord covers people until they reach a certain age of accountability. And what is that? That's when a child realizes, hey, I've done wrong. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And that age is different for every person. You can't just say, well, by the time they hit 5 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old, it's different for everybody based on their understanding and how the Lord has dealt with them. But after we reach that age, we are responsible for our own personal dealing with the Lord. And so the Lord brings guilt. We cannot bring guilt. The devil cannot bring true guilt. The Lord brings guilt. The Lord is also the only one that brings true forgiveness. I cannot look at a person and say, if you repent of this, or if you repent of this thing that you did, I guarantee you forgiveness. The only way that I can do that is to look at the scripture and see what the scripture says and say, the Lord said that if you pray, if you repent, then you will be forgiven. I cannot forgive. I cannot offer you forgiveness. I can't provide the guilt and I cannot provide the forgiveness. And those two things are major components of our walk with Christ. Even after we are saved, many times the Lord has brought a sense of guilt to my mind for something that I did. And I have had to go back and make apologies and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. That is the Lord's dealing. And if the Lord deals with you that way, it doesn't mean that you are not saved. What it means is that it's something the Lord, it's come between you and the Lord. You need to deal with it. You need to say, I'm sorry. And then the Lord will say, that's okay. I forgive you. It's a personal transaction between you and the Lord. You know what that means? That because I cannot bring guilt and because I cannot also bring forgiveness, that our job as the church of God is not necessarily to make everybody look exactly the same. It is not to bring people. Do you know there's a difference between kingdom oriented and group oriented? There's a difference. We can all settle. We can say, you know what? I think that when we come to church, we all need to wear green. If we come to church, we all need to wear green, and we can all agree on it, and we can be agreed, but it's not necessarily what the Lord wants us to do. See, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I would that ye all speak the same thing, and that ye be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. But then later, if you read in 1 Corinthians, he talks about how people are going to vary in their interpretation, in what the Lord wants us to do. I'm not saying it should be a free-for-all, but when he says be of the same mind, that means that we all want to serve Christ and we all want to help people reach Christ. The function and the purpose of the church of God is to help people reach Christ and get to heaven. That's what it is. I said a while ago that I wish the chapel was full. I don't wish if we want the chapel to be full so that the singing sounds better, that's a bad reason. If we want the chapel to be full so that it makes us look good as a group, that's a bad reason. If we want the chapel to be full because we're a leader and we want to get a following or a bigger offering or something, that's a bad reason. But if we want the chapel to be full because we want to help that many people go to heaven and further God's kingdom, then that is an excellent reason. Yes. All right, now let's go to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you operate like that? I don't. People operate in such a clumsy fashion when it comes to this kind of thing. I can look at somebody, I can see what you do, but I cannot see why you do it. I can look at what you do, and I can know that if I did that, this would be why. But it's not necessarily why you did it. Does that make sense? The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can make discernments that the wisest man on earth cannot make. It can get right down there and it can isolate things and point out things, and it can bring a mirror. There's another scripture, and it's in James right there by where we read our text, where it says that if you be a doer of the word or a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a man that beholds his face in a glass. The word of God is a mirror. It's something that we hold up to our lives. And when you hear preaching that's inspired by the word of by God, or you read the word of God, you know that me being a good speaker, and I don't think I am one, but if I was, that would not be the thing that gets us closer to God. What gets us close, folks? An atheist could speak to you and the Lord could minister through the words of that. It's not necessarily the person that's speaking or where you hear it. The Lord deals with us in the form of truth that we know is truth, and it convicts our heart and it challenges us to do better. Yes, I want our ministers to be inspired by God, because I believe we're going to do better that way. We're going to get closer to God. We're going to hear more of God's word that way. But I have had people say things to me that weren't even saved and didn't even have the Spirit of God, and the Lord put his finger on something in my life and said, "You know that this is true." It doesn't matter who said it. You know that many times we can excuse what we're doing, and somebody points out, maybe somebody comes up to us with a bad attitude, is all mad at us and says, "You need to do this and you should have been doing this." And then we say, "You know what? What I don't care what they say, because they don't have the Spirit of God." It's not who it is. It's how the Lord deals with you and me in my heart, in our hearts. The word of God is sharp. The word of God is a mirror, and it points out exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Don't just excuse what you're doing because this person isn't qualified, that person isn't qualified. What is the Lord speaking to your heart? How does the Lord deal with you in your heart? That's what matters. It does not matter if the Lord has dealt with you about something. It doesn't matter if a whole group of ministers come up to you and say, you don't have to do that. If you know that the Lord has talked to you about something, you've got to wait until the Lord gives you clearance to do that before you just follow anybody, whether it's a minister or a whole room of them. May the Lord help us today. Man's religion is so inadequate at dealing with people's hearts. Yes, the Lord uses people. Yes, the Lord inspires people what to say. He told inspired Peter. Somebody came to Peter and said, you know, take this money. I want to be able to lay hands on people and they get the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. Your money's going to burn up and you're going to burn up too unless you repent, because I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Folks, I know that there are times where the Lord can give people discernment, and people have been given discernment about me. I've gone to the altar and I've prayed and people have come and prayed with me and the Lord has given them discernment about me. But it doesn't always work that way. And when somebody tells you something, you have the right and the privilege to be like the Bereans and examine whether that thing is so. All right? The scripture says, prove all things. There is a story we have. We have a children's story at home. Y'all ever heard of the Frog and Toad books? Probably all of you have read them. There's Frog and his friend Toad. Well, there was one in there that they made cookies. One of them made cookies. And I don't know who made the cookies. So I'll just say Frog made the cookies. He took them over to Toad's house. And he said, let's eat some cookies. I've got a whole box of them. So they started eating the cookies. And after a while, one of them said, and I'll just assign names. Toad said, Frog, we need to stop. We've had enough cookies. And Frog said, all right, we'll eat one more and then we'll stop. So they ate one more and they said, you know, we ought to have just one last cookie. Okay, well, we'll have one last cookie. And they kept eating cookies and they would have their mouth full of cookies while saying, we need to stop. They didn't want to stop. That was what the problem was. They knew they needed to stop, but they didn't want to stop. And so they came up with an idea. One of them said, all right, let's close the box. Then we will not eat any more cookies. And the other one said, but we can open the box. And the other one said, okay, I have a better idea. Let's put a string around the box. We'll tie the box. Then we will not eat any more cookies. Well, you can guess what the other one said. But we can cut the string and open the box. And then Frog or whoever it was said, okay, well, let's do something. Let's go one step farther. We'll close the box, put a string around it, climb up on a ladder, and put it up on a tall shelf. And so he did. And then his friend said, but we can climb the ladder, take the box down, cut the string, and open it, and eat the cookies. And he climbed the ladder, and he took the box of cookies, he took it down, he cut the string, he opened the box, he took the box outside, and he said, here, birds, here are cookies. And the birds came, and they ate all the cookies. Folks, we can do everything that we... You know that highly regulating what people do does not bring them into closer contact with God, because it's an issue of the heart. There are religions that have gone to great lengths to try to regulate every aspect of a person's life. We don't... Okay, pride's a sin, right? So we don't want a person to be proud. So we're going to make all kinds of restrictions. I know of a group that split into two groups because they required their men to wear hats, and they could not come together and agree how wide the hat brim needed to be. And so they split over the width of the hat brim. You can Google it. It's very documented. And that group became two groups. You know that you could make, and some people, I think they were saying a real narrow hat brim is more worldly, and so we can't do that. And the other people were saying a wider hat brim doesn't make any difference. I want to ask you something. If you could set all of the rules, and I don't even, folks, living for God has rules, but it's who makes the rules that matters, all right? Living for God and the church of God is not a free-for-all, and it should not be. But the question is, who makes the rules? All right? What if the ministers came to you and said, you can decide all of the standards or the rules for the church. It's up to you. You make it. Oh, what an opportunity. Now people are going to live just how they're supposed to live. And we're going to do this and this and that. And people are doing this and they shouldn't. So we're going to outlaw that. We're going to do that. You know what you just did? You aligned everyone with your conscience. And people's consciences are not the same. People have different... There are things that are corporate. Okay? They're the same for everybody. The scripture says that those people that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I do not have to give somebody the benefit of the doubt and say, well, you know, maybe it's okay. Maybe the Lord gave them. If they're going and they're robbing banks and committing adultery, I don't have to really think. What I think is those people need Jesus. They need to be saved. Lord, give me an opportunity to deal with. But you know that if we go around and we look at people, oh my, they're wearing too bright of colors. And the Lord dealt with me about that. Maybe He did. But maybe He didn't deal with them at all about it. I want to tell you something. I've researched some of the more highly regulated religions. And those things are regulated. You know that in some religions you can only wear gray or blue or black or white, and maybe, and it's different depending on which flavor of these religions you go to, which sect that you go to. You can only do this, 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 and this. And you know, I think that it's very likely that somebody way back when decided, or the Lord dealt with them and said, you know, you're wearing this, and the reason that you're doing it is the wrong reason. You're trying to attract attention. I had a customer one time tell me, she was a very, very religious lady, but we were talking, and after a while she said, you know, the reason that I wear what I wear to church is to attract attention. And you know, when the Lord deals with us about that, all I hope is that she was honest with that and that she did something about it. I didn't say a word about anything she was wearing. But we were talking about pleasing the Lord. I don't even remember really the conversation now. But she said, you know, this is why I do this. Honestly, it's not to please God. It's to attract attention. And, you know, I believe the Lord has... He wants to be able to deal with each one of us personally. I'll just tell you this. I like to wear rags, okay? When I go to work, I like to wear clothes that if I get a little glue on them, it's not going to matter, okay? I don't want to be immodest, but I like to wear things that if I'm walking fast and I catch my arm catches a nail that's on the wall and it rips a little bit, oh well, it doesn't matter. I like to do that, and I like to wear that kind of thing. And I'll tell you, I don't think the Lord has ever put His finger on something that I was wearing and said, you know, you put that on for show, because that's not my personality. It's not my personality. But there are other things that I do and I cannot do because of weaknesses in my life, that if I were to tell you, you know, you cannot do that, Do you know all it would do is put a bondage on you? It would be something that's not even relevant to how the Lord deals with each one of us. And there is no way that we can go back to the frog and toad story. We can put all kinds of restrictions, but it does not. What makes the church of God what it should be is when people want to serve the Lord. And they want to do what He says. Yes, it is not a free-for-all. In fact, I would say it's highly regulated. But it's regulated by the Lord. There are many things. I believe the Lord wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to be careful. He wants us to dress modestly. He wants us to guard our language. But there are two things about that. For one, a lot of times when we get, what if somebody comes in and they've never heard anything about the Lord or anything like that? You know that there is a place and time for some good instruction, some pointers, and there are scriptures that says, imitate these people. Look at their example. And we had a message a while back about looking at what people have done and imitating them. But that's not to be our stopping point. We've got to get to the place where the Lord can, where we can examine and say, you know what? I know the church doesn't say anything about this, but I feel like the Lord would want me to go one step farther and do this because I know my weaknesses. And the Lord has put His finger. And likewise, I believe that we should not have to be in bondage and say, you know what? I heard back in 1995, I heard a minister preach about this here. And so I have no idea why. Never heard anybody else preach about it, but I'm bound to do it. Folks, I want to tell you something. If I tried to live to everything that I have heard preached over the years, I would be so restricted I couldn't hardly do anything. I believe that there are times when there are things preached that maybe they shouldn't have been, all right? Is that okay? I've heard, and maybe it was something personal that the Lord dealt with them. It doesn't mean that they're crazy. It doesn't mean that it was just wrong and the Lord never talked to them. But I believe that there is a big difference between corporate standards and personal ones. All right. You know, if you could set all the standards for the church, it'd be perfect, right? If you could just name it. Okay, well, Lord, talk to me about that. So this is what we need to do. Folks, you wouldn't even touch some of the weaknesses in some other people. You wouldn't touch them. And then the people, and that's what happens. This is why this is called the law of liberty. Because anything else brings people back into bondage. You know why it's in bondage? Because it doesn't set you free. And so if I'm going and I'm checking off boxes, okay, this minister said this, we can do it two different ways, okay? We can live several different ways. We can live to the lowest common denominator. You know what that means? Out of all the people that teach me or out of all the people I worship with, I'm going to go to the lowest thing that everybody agrees on, the baseline. I can do that. I can live that way. The opposite of that is, if brother so-and-so says this, I'm going to follow it. And if I don't hear anybody say this, but this brother over here says this at some point in time, I'm going to follow that. Basically, the highest denominator, whatever, with the highest thing that you hear in every category, that's what I'm going to follow. Do you know there's a third option? That is, that I hear things and I'm able by the Spirit of God, because I've got the Spirit of God in my life, I have the freedom and the privilege to examine things that are said, even if it's something in an old book somewhere. And I very much respect the pioneer ministers and the things, but you know, they didn't even always totally agree with each other. And so we have the right and the privilege to examine things that are taught, things that are written, things that other people are doing, and say, you know what? Maybe the Lord has required that of them, but the Lord says He does not require that of me, and I don't want to be involved. Stand fast in the liberty. Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. I have a CAD program. I draw, And I think I've given this example before, but if I measure a room and I go and I draw that whole room, almost every time it doesn't quite close. Like if I draw all the way around a room and one wall is 120 inches and the next wall is 96 inches and I'm measuring doorways and windows, I can draw that on paper and it looks fine. But if I draw it on a CAD program that's perfect, doesn't get any lines out of square or anything like that, by the time I get all the way around the room, I might be a quarter of an inch off with my last point, and they don't quite agree. You know, the Lord, when we try to control every aspect of a person's life to guarantee that they're going to be close to God, you know, that becomes a thing that a religion can trust in. They can say, I've checked all the boxes. I've done this and this and this. You know what the problem is? That it doesn't close. You know what happens when I make a CAD drawing of a kitchen and it doesn't quite close? I fudge one of the distances so it'll close. I'll look and say, okay, which one doesn't matter? Okay, this wall over here, it's by a door and it says 46 3/8, but I need a quarter and I know we're not going to put a cabinet there, so I'm just going to make it 46 5/8. And it doesn't matter. And that's what happens with man-made religion. It never gets to the heart of the matter. It always deals clumsily. The Lord and His Word deals with our hearts sharper than any two-edged sword. It can discern the most minute things and help us to know exactly where to live. But when we deal, it's like we have a bunch of dull battle axes and we're swinging and we're chopping and people get hurt and people don't get the help they need and people are in bondage. And pretty soon, if we follow that model, then you have a whole group of people that are doing a long list of things and checking boxes and have no idea why. And that is what the Lord does not want in His church. The Pharisees got into trouble like that. Matthew 15. May the Lord help us today. There is another side to this. I do not want there to be a free-for-all in the church of God. I do not. And did you know that if you are here and your heart is not quite to serve the Lord in any area, there is no amount of regulation that comes from me or any person here that will cause you to measure up in your heart. You can measure up on the outside, but what the Lord really wants is for us to want to serve Him and do the things that we do because we love Him. All right? Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Y'all know who the Pharisees were? The Pharisees were a group of people that were dissatisfied with the spiritual level of the Jews at large. And so they were a people that started off with, I believe, probably some very good motives. They said, we're going to purify. They didn't leave the Jews. They couldn't really back then. Nowadays, if you think, you know, this church that I'm in is a bad church, you can just leave. And you can still say, well, I'm still a Christian and all that. I'd say be careful about that. But they couldn't really do that because there weren't a lot of different flavors of Judaism. So they said, we're going to purify the church from within. We want, and I believe that was most likely a noble motive that they had. They said, we're going to serve God as fully as we can. We're going to try to check all the boxes of what He wants us to do. Do you know there is nothing wrong with checking all the boxes? In fact, we need to check all the boxes. But who makes the boxes? Who sets the boxes? That's the question. So the Pharisees, I believe that very likely there was a Pharisee. I'm just speculating, and I cannot prove this, but I wonder if there was a Pharisee or maybe a group of them that had become very lazy in their thinking, and they didn't. It got into their personal lives. You know, the Spirit of the Lord and the way of God will get into our personal lives. It'll help us with the way that we keep our place clean and ourselves and all of that. The Lord's way gets into our personal lives. And I believe that very likely the Lord started talking to some of these Pharisees and said, you know, you're so sloppy and so lethargic in what you do. You need to take some care. It's not courteous to other people for you to come straight from the pig pen to the table, even though it might not bother you, but it's not. Do you understand what I'm saying? A personal dealing. But then they brought that and they tried to make it corporate. All right, well, the Lord talked to me about that. And so we're going to make a rule that you've got to wash your hands before you eat. And it's an article of faith. You're not as close to God as you need to be if you don't wash your hands before you eat. And it was likely something that was very good, that originated, somebody had some very good motives. Folks, we can do that today too. The Lord talked to me about this. The Lord said I was wearing too bright of a color or too whatever, and the curtains on my house were such that they would that I was, it made me a little bit proud. And so I think you need to have your curtains like this too, because the Lord will bless you because you're more humble. Folks, it doesn't make somebody more humble for you to make everybody conform to your standards. All right, may the Lord help us today. I don't want us to just take this and run with it, but listen to what Jesus said. They checked all the boxes. The Pharisees had so many boxes that they checked. But then Jesus, farther down, he said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. I don't want my worship to be in vain. I want a direct line of communication between you and the Lord. I don't want your worship to be in vain either. I want you in contact with the Lord. And so I'm going to do everything I can as part of this body to facilitate that. If I bring you in contact with me, that's not going to help you get to heaven. If I introduce you to all of the things the Lord has talked to me about and say, you know, if you do this and this and this, that's why he said, be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Because if I give you a set of boxes to check that do not touch the places that the Lord has dealt with you about and you trust in them, you are not free. The Lord wants to talk to each one of us and have each one of us be connected to the Lord. And you know, it's probably, over time at least, it'll probably look very similar where, I mean, you're not going to have people coming that have been saved for a long time and dress all kinds of ways that are just grossly immodest and ostentatious, because those are the things that the Lord weeds out of us. But there will be some variation from time to time. And I think, actually, if you'll accept this, I think that when you see some variation in a group of people, it's a good thing. Because it means that the religion is from the inside out, not from the inside outside in. Maybe that's all for today. And may the Lord help us, that will follow him, that will have a relationship with him. You pray for me.